Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thoughts on the 40 thing, Neek, is realistically maybe going to be able to give you minutes, and is he kind of establishing himself as a rotation guy already?
You know, I think all the perimeter positions, do I see him playing some point guard? Yes, because of his skill set, but that's, he's also got to be out there with the secondary ball handler because, I was a rookie and I could do all those things, but when you go out there and, you look in front of you and it's like Mookie Blaylock, you're like, oh, God. So, he's going to be facing guys, and it's good for him to face Dennis in practice because that's about a higher level of defender as you're going to see in the NBA. So that's what I mean by iron sharpens iron. His skill set says to me he can play all the perimeter positions. 1, 2, 3.
Glimpses we've got of 5-on-5, seeing Zach make some pretty big defensive plays. Where do you celebrate with him with those two? What have you seen from him stepping up on that end of the floor?
I'm just super excited, man. Like, he's been challenged, and he's accepted the challenge. Like, that's what a real pro does. And then, his teammates get to watch him do that. And he's not the only one. DeMar's out there playing defense, like everyone. Are they always picking up 94 feet? I had a clip of him today picking up 94 feet, and we all, smiled and had a laugh. But that's what winning habits, that's what those are. Is it always going to happen? No. But if Dennis is picking up 94 feet, well, then you need to be in that 70-foot zone so that the pass isn't advanced up the side of the court. Those are winning habits, and those are the habits that we try to, make sure that the guys are focused on, locked in on, and all of them are willing to try to do everything that they can to make those happen on a daily basis. So, as a coach, it makes me excited.
What do you have to see from him from summer league to now, and where you're trying to see him take that next
Devin
step?
Devin has grown immensely since summer league to now. The kid, he's in way better shape. He's understanding and reading the game better. From the point guard position, he's beginning to understand the things. When you're at the free throw line, you're already calling out the play. You got something in your mind. What are we running? On defense, making sure that everybody's set. Those are the responsibilities of a point guard. And a guy like Dennis is going to help him too, because he's not a natural point guard, but he's going to play that position sometimes. His gravity on the defensive end is always felt, and he's fearless. Like, he's not scared of the moment. So all those things put together usually creates a pretty good player in the NBA.
So that's it from Doug Christie today. That was his entire media session between the two clips that we had right there. DC again, and there it is, the magic phrase of the week, 94 feet.
94 feet.
94 feet.
Coach JT gonna have to put a trademark.
I'm saying, Coach, you better. Hey, they're gonna start selling T-shirts. Hey, Coach, do it right now. Because the Sacramento Kings are coming for your catchphrase, man.
That's right, man.
I've heard. I don't know that I've ever heard it before. That's all we've heard this week.
That's right. That's right. Well, wasn't it something with Luke that we
on a string? On a string.
That's right.
Playing defense on a string. And you kept hearing it like over and over and over again.
That's
and it
right.
was like, okay, this is clearly, this is a thing that they're discussing. But yeah, on the string. That
That's
was their.
Right. That's what that was.
That was their bar.
But, you know, it's necessary. It's true. It is an example of what they want to be out there on the floor. A team that's in your face,
mm-hmm.
full court,
mm-hmm.
all game long. And it doesn't matter if it's the point guard bringing it up, shooting guard, small forward, it doesn't matter. All these guys are doing it the same way. You talked about Zach LaVine picking up 94 feet, DeMar DeRozan, things like that. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but just want to reiterate, it really feels like Doug Christie is trying to invoke his philosophy, the way he plays basketball, his characteristics onto this team.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that from time to time in sports and on the basketball court and with basketball teams. And Doug Christie is trying to do that. This is how I play basketball. You're going to play basketball just how I would play basketball. And it's going to be a beautiful thing if they can all buy into that, become an extension of what he would do out there on the floor. I think it's going to be great. The question is that going to happen? I think it is. I think it is. I think they've got enough players on there with that level of character
mm-hmm.
to get it done, but we'll never know until we're out there, and we won't know until they face some little bit of adversity as well.
Oh, the adversity. That's going to be a thing because we felt like they faced so much last year, and maybe at times they responded well, maybe at other times they didn't.
Mm.
But we're going to be watching that particular part of the conversation a lot closer this year. One thing I was thinking about, you know, we were talking about storylines, questions, these different, you know, you asked, can this team focus on winning, like solely on winning, not their numbers, not next year's deal, nothing. Can you focus on winning?
Mm-hmm.
I asked, you know, can the turmoil and all of the drama from last year being behind you, can that be enough to lift this basketball team? After that extended conversation with AI Stephen Brown earlier and other people, and it's not just AI Stephen Brown. It's like there's others who aren't in on this team. Like, and I get it. Like, I understand. Is there anything that could get Kings fans to change their perception of Dennis or DeMar or LaVine or one of these guys where people feel like they already know everything about them and they don't need to know anymore? Can their minds be changed?
I'll say yes, because I think winning.
By the way, I paused. That. I don't expect you to have an answer to that.
Well, like, I was trying to. I'm going to say yes, but it would take.
Because you're optimistic.
Yeah. I think it would take a lot of winning. Like,
yeah.
Like 11-9 isn't going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to see this team close to 10 games over 500 for people to kind of look at them differently, which seems unfair, but it's the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
It's the nature of the beast.
And I guess it's the line. Yeah, winning will. Maybe winning doesn't cure everything. Might cure this, though. It might cure this. Yeah, I'll be like, I feel like everyone is so steadfast on they know who DeMar is. They know who Zach LaVine is. They know who now they know who Dennis Schroeder is, and they're like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And they're not impressed.
Nope. Not at all.
And if you're not impressed, that once again, I mean it when I say that's fine. Like I get it. I'm not here to say you're wrong or mm-hmm. you don't know what you're talking about or nothing. It's just I see it differently. That's all. And the great thing about it is we'll all find out together once they get on the court in a week for preseason, but you really find out.
Yeah, next Wednesday.
You really find out once they get on the floor in the regular season.
Let's hear from, because I think Keegan spoke today too. I'd love, Keon's always good. Let's see if we can, let's try to hear from both of these guys real quick. Here's Keegan Murray today at practice, courtesy of our friend Matt George. I'll put it on the screen so everybody can actually hear it.
I think everyone's trying. Everyone's trying to pick up the concepts, trying to pick up, be aggressive offensively, defensively, things like that. So I feel like there's not one person that's been lazy or lack of effort, and I feel like that's a good sign.
Your squad loses to third squad. What kind of goes through your mind? How long do you kind of wear that for?
I mean, I think you guys saw the last one, but before that, we ran the table. But I mean, I feel like that just shows the depth that we have. Like our young guys have been really good and things like that. So, and that means they're getting more comfortable, which is a good sign.
I mean, does it give them like a confidence? I mean, you were kind of in their situation, maybe not third, but
yeah.
a moment like that, what kind of confidence do you think you can give them?
Yeah, especially guys in their first training camp. It's a big confidence when you're beating guys that have years in the league and things like that. So I think it's a good thing that they're able to compete with us. That shows that we have depth that we can go to at any point. So,
how is that starting five unit? I know Dennis is new, but getting more acclimated with Zach and DeRozan, just how do you feel about that starting five and how you guys are playing together?
I mean, we're putting in new stuff, which is good. A lot. I feel like there's more movement going around and things like that, which we didn't have last year. So obviously with Dennis being back, obviously he was at the Eurobasket and things like that. So he wasn't with us the past 2 weeks, and he's still getting used to everything, but he's been doing a good job. It's been fun playing with him so far.
Offensively, what is your role? Is it more coming out on the OVH show and then pulling up for three and maybe driving lane if they go after that? Or just what does the new offense look for you and what they're asking for?
Just be aggressive. They're using me more than they did last year, especially coming out of the corner and in transition, things like that. So there's not like a specific thing like you gotta catch and shoot off a DHO or anything like that. It's really just use my talent and ability to get a basket, get downhill, get fouled, hit it, knock down a shot, and just different things like that. So
Keegan Murray right there. Derek J said Keegan sounds like a 90s sitcom dad, and that is very, very funny to me. We'll come back. I do want to hear from Keon Ellis. We'll talk about the Kings for just a couple of more minutes, and then we'll shift our attention back to the NFL. We just ran that 49ers Rams game back here on the TV during the show. We'll talk to Chris Biederman about that game to close out the week. We'll also look at a couple of marquee games that are ahead. There's not many, but there's at least one you got to watch. Also, who's back? Who's out? That's all ahead here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Chris Biedemann going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll talk about that football game last night. The Rams and the 49ers. Let's check in at King's practice one last time.
And real quick before we check in one more
call,
time.
Good call.
Just want to let you guys know.
Yep.
I was so hyped up from last night.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get either my college football lineup ready or my Raiders Colts lineup ready. I will have that taken care of. Don't worry about it. You can go over there over on Prize Picks. They've got you covered. Download the Prize Picks app. Put in the promo code KIFM. Get $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. Once again, put in the promo code KIFM to get $50 towards your first $5 lineup. Football's popping right now. NBA's on its way. And we got WNBA finals starting tonight as well. So you might want to get one of those lineups in as well. You must be present in certain states. Go to PrizePicks.com for more details. PrizePicks. It's good to be right.
Go, Johnny G.
Johnny G.
I expect better of you, buddy.
Johnny G. Let's see what he got. Johnny G got his third win of the season. He's been on a schneid a little bit.
A schneid. Damn schneids.
Participation up, too. Good job. Good job.
No, certainly better than yesterday. Yesterday was embarrassing. Here's Keon Ellis.
I think the attention to detail, I think that's there. It's been there. What is the other word I want to use? We've been going really hard. Every team's been, you know, giving each other good looks, good games. So I think, you know, with the new stuff that we're trying to put in, you know, we've given ourselves a good look at, you know, how we can improve and, you know, how things are going to, how the offense should be ran, how we should be playing on defense. So I think that's what's been really good so far.
What do you think of the change of the high five rule?
Man, we always doing something. I don't know. I think the high five, as long as it wasn't a crazy like slap after the shot, I think that should be fine. But I mean, I don't even know what they're saying now is like legal. So we'll see and we'll find out. So
is it an adjustment for you though? I know like Mike was preaching a lot for you guys last year.
I mean, I wouldn't say for me because I don't really like slap hands. I really just more so just kind of hold my hand out and just hit theirs. But I don't really think so.
The high five is.
You guys want to be an aggressive team. The NBA refs here today. How much does it feel like you guys had a barometer of how aggressive you can be? And without.
I'm just going to hit pause right there because Casey just said the high five is a foul. It absolutely is. And if you need evidence for it, just go watch any Kings game from last year because maybe they were the only team in the league it was called against, but nobody racked up more and ones or fouls on three-pointers than your Sacramento Kings.
At one point, I can't remember this specifically, but I thought it was like 13, and it was like January. And it was,
I remember
it was
we
like
looked
almost
it up.
A record.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was. It might have been legal to the refs to a certain degree, but that was a foul. I've been on record saying that forever. I was like, you can't do that. You can't slap somebody's hand on the follow through.
You hear that, foul. America? He was on record.
That's right. That's right. Now, everybody's on board. They feel the same way. Where were you guys at when this was happening, NBA?
Well, the officials were on board as long as the Sacramento Kings were playing.
That's a good point. You're correct. You're correct.
Let's hear a little bit more from Keon Ellis.
I don't think it really did too much. I mean, because it was crazy because there were still times where, like, it was obviously a foul. And after the play, they were like, yeah, you got fouled. So, like, what are we doing? I don't know. But, in the like, little drills we do, I guess that's where it could be useful. But still pretty much feel the same to me. I don't know. But
We'll kill that. I want to talk about something that Keon said and Keegan said. Talked about the offense. And they both referenced the different things that they're doing now on the offensive end. Obviously, neither one of them elaborated on it. These are 4 or 5 minute media sessions. Those guys who were there were at practice might have been able to see some of it in those brief five-on-five moments that they saw. Keegan acknowledging that they did run the other two teams, did run those guys previously. Just the media was let in for the game that Devin Carter hit the game winner on. He wanted to make sure to point that out. And I don't blame him for doing that. But it seems like there's some changes to the offense, and it's a conversation. Keon actually just said it there a second ago. Yeah, like, we have the opportunity to go over a few things, ask some questions and kind of get in line to make sure that we're executing this, the right way. And these are all great things to say 4 days into training camp, 3 days into training camp, because the conversation is going to be, I'm telling you, the conversation is going to be a lot different on Monday, on Tuesday. They're going to be itching to get to Wednesday and actually play somebody, play in the Toronto Raptors. And this isn't football, where you have to, they're not going to show much. Like, no, they've got to practice their offense against the live defense. Like, they're absolutely what Keegan, Keon, Doug referenced today. We're going to see that next Wednesday.
Agreed.
That's absolutely what we're going to see.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, for the timing, for everything that they have to be able to implement with that offense, they're going to have to work on it time and time and time again, not just in practice, but like Doug has said a number of different times, they're going to have to work on it against teams that don't know what they're doing or aren't their teammates or anything like that. So you're going to get a good idea of if this offense looks any different, and if it does, what the differences are during this preseason.
Mm-hmm. You got anything left on the Kings that you want to touch on before we put this first week of training camp behind us?
Nah, man, just vibes are good. I'm feeling good with what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing from these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost time to get through the preseason healthy, and let's see it executed out there on the regular season. We're going to continue to talk about it during training camp and during preseason and break some things down. But, you know, that's where my mind's starting to get to, that whether they play on the 25th or 23rd or something like that.
I think they play both, don't they? It's 22nd. It's 22nd and 24th.
The NBA, I thought, started on the 22nd. They must start on the 21st.
Yeah, the Kings will be in Phoenix on the 22nd. They will be, of course, home on Friday night, October 24th. They also, weird scheduling quirk, I don't think I've noticed this before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They pretty much play every Wednesday. Yeah. I don't know why that's standing out to me. They play every Wednesday for, like, starting with the preseason.
I noticed that the other day because,
like, 9 straight weeks.
Yeah, I noticed that yesterday, matter of fact, because I'm going to miss all those games. I got the coach's show on Wednesday.
Oh, jeez.
So I was like, oh, man. Yeah, until like December. That's when it kind of stops.
That's right. They play October 8th. That's this coming Wednesday. And the first Wednesday they don't play is December 10th.
Mm. It's like 3 or 4 home games, too.
I was going to say, it almost alternates between home, road, home, road, home, road. You're going to miss the Warriors.
I know. Depending on what time, the coach will be over by 8. I might ask you to open a back door for me so I can.
Excuse me?
The media door. No, hey. No, what's. No, ain't no. No.
Wow. I just. Sir. I'm gonna politely decline that request.
Nobody's opening any back doors on this show, okay?
Hey. This is just so damn childish,
it's
man.
It's bad.
It's so
it's bad. It's so bad.
A wild request.
It's so bad. Jesse over there trying to do his work, trying to get the podcast done. He's trying to get out of here at 4 o'clock, and man's getting married. Jesse's getting married 1 week from today.
Let's go.
Jesse's getting married 1 week from today, and he's got to come in here and throw the flag.
What am I supposed to do when I'm gone? What's going to happen when I'm gone?
Man, it's anarchy.
Come on, man. Like I said, I work with a bunch of children.
I'm going to have to teach Joe Brazil what a flag is.
Just going to walk in here. Just walk in here and get the flag.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny G's right. That isn't you should be thrown out. Chris Biederman set to join us here in a heartbeat. I think we got, Commanders and Chargers. Jaden's back.
Mm-hmm.
Game I'm looking forward to the most on Sunday, Bucks and Seahawks.
It's going to be a good one.
2-3-1 teams. I'm sure that is of particular interest now to 49er fans, given what happened last night. And I think Jacksonville, this is Monday. We could deal with this on Monday. Jacksonville and Kansas City is that's one I'm ready to watch.
Yeah, that is, I'm trying to stop short of saying it's a statement situation for the Jags.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, because I only say that to say if they lose, that doesn't mean they're not good. You know what I mean?
No, but if they win, if they lose, it's like, all right, there's a lot of see what it is. They win, it's like, all right, they're 4-1. They've beaten Kansas City. They've beaten San Francisco, who's now 4-1. Like that it's just like it's the BCS. Jacksonville's win last week, it looks a whole lot better today. It looked good last week. Yeah. It looks really good today.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Ravens against the Texans. Lamar is out.
That is going to be tough if the Ravens lose that game. Because then they got the Rams right after that, too.
Mm.
That is.
Oh, yeah, and that's the
that
one.
Is going to be dangerous if they lose that game.
Because
whether we like it or not, the Steelers kind of winning games.
It's not. The answer is not. You said whether we like it or not, it's not. I do not like them winning games. But they are.
Yeah.
And suddenly that division, which didn't before the season started, it's like this is a third place team at best in the division. Mm-hmm. They're going to have they already do have a multi game lead in a division with the Ravens in it. In a division with the Bengals in it, who are dead. The Bengals are just belly up. It's a dead goldfish. Go get the family. Go tell Rudy to flush the toilet. Like, it's over.
Yeah. Tough. Just have the services right there.
That's right. Dress up for the funeral.
That show is so great.
It's incredible.
That show is great.
It's absolutely incredible. I wish it was easier to...
Yeah.
I wish it were easier to find. Yeah. Speaking of, sort of... I had a song play on my automated playlist.
Really?
A record I had not thought about in years. And it hit, and I looked at the screen like, I remember this record.
What?
Why have we never used this?
What song was this?
It was Fat Joe, We Thuggin'.
We Thuggin'.
Oh, man. I was like, why didn't we use this? And then the chorus hit, and I was like, oh!
We don't stop, throw it up.
You don't have to celebrate it. But that song is so cold. So cold.
He was...
Fat Joe didn't do anything to anybody.
He didn't. The other guy, he was the best at doing that.
Well, hopping all on right. But again, we don't need to celebrate.
Hopping
it.
On the rap track.
Let's bring in our man, Chris Biederman. Chris Biederman of the Sacramento Bee, of course. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Man, we're riding high. I'm not even a 49er fan, and we're riding high. That we've debated between week one with the Bills and the Ravens and last night's game. I mean, some have thrown the was it the Eagles and the Cowboys in there? Or I think it was the Cowboys and the Giants. That was the game of the year last night so far, no?
Yeah, probably. I mean, from a 49ers fan perspective, absolutely. And I think you can go back to, I mean, in terms of wins, regular season wins for the Kyle Shanahan era, that might be number one, just given the context of everything. Like, given, you know, our buddy Nick Wagner wrote about it at ESPN, it was the biggest upset of the season from a point spread perspective, and it was the biggest upset the 49ers have had since that Eagles game in 2011 when they went and won in Philadelphia with that Justin Smith strip fumble on Jeremy Maclin, if you guys remember that one. So it was, I mean, from that perspective, it was a huge game. Like, if the 49ers go on a playoff run, I think we can go back and look to October 2nd and say, yeah, maybe that was a moment for them.
I'm thinking here, I would say the Seattle game, last game of the season in 2019.
Sure.
That same year, the New Orleans games, absolutely iconic. Mm-hmm. You've got the...
There was another Rams 49ers game.
That was in 2019 as well. That was iconic. Well, then you've got the other one in 2021, last game of the season to get into the playoffs. Iconic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top five, though, last night. Top five. And then, like you said, when you talk about the context of who was out and short week and everything that goes into it, top five win, regular season win in the Kyle Shanahan era.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
The fumble on the goal line is the thing that I just can't get. Like, that is just tough for me to, like, they're punt the game, it's over, and they take the ball away.
Kyle Shanahan said something today. What was the term he used? It was like competitive resilience, or it was something. I wish it wasn't escaping me right now, but it was something to the effect of, like, they had to outlast competitively their opponent. And it kind of stuck out to me given the context of the 49ers kind of rebuilding, right? And I wonder how much, or reconstructing the roster, they don't want to call it rebuilding, but like the youth movement they've gone through, like, do you have more competitive resiliency when you have a younger roster as opposed to what they had last year with a bunch of older guys who probably a little bit fatigued from, you know, the short off season that they had after losing the Super Bowl, and just the mental bandwidth that you lose when you go through a playoff run and lose in the Super Bowl in overtime the way they did. I think last night sort of speaks to the idea of, like, a youth movement and having maybe a little bit more competitive resiliency in that moment, because you don't have nearly as many players who have been beaten down by that Super Bowl run from the previous year. You know what I mean? And I think it speaks to, like, Alfred Collins being a guy who makes a play. Marquise Siegel coming in and helping stop that run on fourth down. And kind of throughout the season, you know, like, Upton Stout has been making plays. And I think that sort of speaks to, like, what the 49ers were hoping for a little bit with this youth movement is, like, can we re-inject some energy into this roster? And I think last night was an example of what they were trying to accomplish.
I want to run something by you that I talked about earlier, and it's maybe a little tough because Stafford had statistically, and just watching the game, you played well last night. But this, I think he threw for 380 or something like that, three touchdowns. But I thought that secondary, specifically the corners, competed like crazy in that game. And I think that group, I know the secondary is also part of the, the safeties are also part of the secondary. But I'm looking specifically at the corners when you talk about Lenore, when you talk about Green, and when you talk about Upton Stout. I think by the end of the season, Chris, that might have the 49ers with a top three secondary unit in the league. They might be top three today. I love the way they've played in 5 weeks. Lenore is just shut down. He is a lockdown corner right now, and Stout seems to be getting better every week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lenore got killed with the holding penalties last night. But I thought Renardo Green played a really good game. And it just seems like even Siegel is, you know, I know the advanced numbers will probably say like he's allowing a lot of completions, but it doesn't feel like he's far off. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like he is oftentimes in really good position and maybe just a split second late in terms of breaking up some of these passes. But for a fifth round rookie to come in and start the way he has, I think you got to be encouraged by that if you're a 49ers fan. The other thing too is they don't even have their full array yet. My brain is foggy. I just woke up from a nap. What's the guy's name from Mustafa, the knee injury? Malik Mustafa. He's not even back yet. So what's that going to look like? Is Siegel and Mustafa are they going to be the starters? Is Jason Pinnock going to continue to start? It sounds like Mustafa is going to come back to practice on Monday. So yeah, I'm optimistic. I think the only thing that would give me pause in terms of like saying they're going to be a top five unit is just, I don't know that the pass rush is going to be good enough to help them out. I think they're going to have to stand on their head a little bit if quarterbacks can just sit back there and pick them apart. But they could play like a top five unit if the pass rush improves and maybe if the 49ers go and make a trade for a pass rusher. But I'm with you in that, like, there's a lot of talent there.
Chris, one of my favorite things about last night's game is the contrasting play calling from Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay in critical moments. I mentioned the, you know, anytime you get a fumble on the goal line, like that's going to be incredible to me. And the 49ers were able to do it. Obviously, that put them in an incredible position where they're a heartbeat away from the goal line. Kyle Shanahan gets conservative with his play calling, forces the Rams to use all of their timeouts. And then you have a situation, you know, some 30, 40 real-life minutes later where Sean McVay is in a situation where he decides to get ultra aggressive with his play calling, and it winds up costing them the victory. What did you think of Kyle Shanahan's play calling and how that story wound up coming back later in the night?
Yeah, I think that's probably the hardest part of game management when you're in that position that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers were in, where you have a lead, the other team has timeouts, and you're deep in your own territory and you have to figure out how to manage that situation. I think it's kind of a toss up in terms of like, I think there's plenty of logic towards trying to get the first down, right? But you have a backup quarterback, you're missing your top three receivers, you don't have your all pro tight end, Mac Jones can barely move. Like, I understand why Kyle Shanahan wouldn't want to put all his chips in on that scenario against a good Rams defense on their home field, because, you know, what's a good third down conversion rate for a good NFL team? It's like 50%. So there's a 50% chance that you get what you need to do, whereas if you run the ball, there's a 100% chance that the Rams get the ball back with no timeouts. And I think if the Rams had a timeout, they're in much better position to try to score a touchdown before the end of regulation, and then you lose the game. Mm-hmm. So, but to me, like, either way, it's like one of those like 55-45 probability calls. Like, I think that's a really difficult call to make. And I think if you have all of your starters, maybe you're more aggressive there and trying to get a first down to put the game away. But the Niners just didn't have any of their starters, and Mac Jones seemed like he could barely move. So I get it from that standpoint. And from Sean McVay's standpoint, I thought it was sound to go for it on fourth down. I just hated the play call. Mm-hmm. You taking the ball out of Matt Stafford's hands. He had 280 yards passing after halftime. And, you know, the Rams' best players are Stafford and their receivers, and Kyron Williams is a good back, but I'm not running it on fourth and one there. I'm doing, you know, like, I'm keeping the ball in Matt Stafford's hands and letting him make a play, and maybe even trying to get a touchdown, because you could maybe sell play action and sell, hey, we're going to try this running play, but then boot out of it and you have somebody open. You know, they're at what, the 11 yard line? Like, they, you know, they could have gone to the end zone and caught the 49ers off guard there. So I thought they did the 49ers a favor by running the ball. But no, like, in terms of kicking the field goal, there's no way I'm kicking the field goal there if I'm Sean McVay. So I like going for it. I just hated the running call.
We got to talk about my guy, number 10, Mac 10, Mac Jones. I talked about it earlier, Chris, and I
he's been a lifelong Mac Jones fan.
Haven't we all?
Matt Jones supporter.
That's a Mac. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I apologized to him earlier in the show because I didn't think he was like terrible or this awful player, but I probably sold him short a little bit. I was like, he'll be around in the league. He'll be here for 10 years. He'll be a backup. And I think Mac Jones is actually better than that. I think he is a good quarterback. He is a tough quarterback. He, for the most part, seems, when he's coached up the right way, makes the right decisions. He's better than I gave him credit for, Chris. I just got to say it. He is a better quarterback than I gave him credit for. What do you think of Mac Jones after seeing him up close and personal for training camp and for these three games?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think because I was pretty against the idea of Kyle Shanahan trading up, you know, investing three first-round picks in somebody like Mac Jones because of just how limited he is physically. Mm-hmm. But what Kyle Shanahan likes about Mac Jones is what is pretty similar to what he likes about Brock Purdy, which is, I think, really hard to evaluate from the outside because it's the way they think. It's the way they process. And, like, we can't always see that by, you know, just casual fans watching. And so Kyle Shanahan is much more of, like, he's into processing power more so than like the big arm strength. Like it's really interesting to see now, because it was a hypothetical for so long. Like, what would it look like if Kyle Shanahan had actually gotten Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance? And we're like, all right, Trey Lance has all these physical tools, but never developed the processing that Kyle Shanahan wanted. And Mac Jones has those things. So it's really interesting to see that kind of come to fruition. And the 49ers at quarterback are in a really good spot. Like, I'm with you, Kenny. Like, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy coming. Like, I think it would have to take one full season of Brock Purdy being bad and or injured for the 49ers to ever think about moving a different direction. I think you have really what every NFL team would want, is like a franchise guy who you can win games with, and then a backup who, if the franchise guy misses time, there isn't this massive dramatic drop off, which happens to, I don't know, 95% of the league when they have to play their backup quarterback. So I think the 49ers are in a great spot from their quarterback position. Mac Jones fits Kyle Shanahan perfectly. This is why Kyle Shanahan was interested in Mac Jones back in 2021. I think as time has gone on, it's been clear that that probably would have been a mistake to invest three first round picks in Mac Jones. But if you can get him as a backup for 2 years and $8 million or whatever it is, like that's good business for the 49ers.
And also, Chris, investing three first round picks, I still stand on that's the wrong idea. But if you would have just drafted him at 13, I think that would have been okay. Like, I would have been fine with that. Or whatever, yeah. 13, 12. I can't remember what the pick that it was they had, but I would have done that.
11.
I just wouldn't have traded the future to go get Mac Jones. But
Mac Jones or Micah Parsons? I think they could have taken Micah with that pick.
Yeah. Not anybody but Trey Lance. Damn, that didn't work. Could
have gotten Micah Parsons and Brock Purdy in the same draft.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris, you said that the 49ers quarterback, you know, position's in a good spot. Doesn't feel like their running game is. And they have not been able to get going. And Christian McCaffrey was brilliant last night. He's been brilliant through the most part of this season. He's been brilliant his entire career in catching the ball out of the backfield. And he has a lot of plays. He had a couple of last night that they're pass plays. And they go to Mac Jones's totals, and they go to his passing totals. But their passes at the line of scrimmage, their passes, you know, 1 yard out, and he's turning it into a big gain. Like, it's technically not a run, but it's Christian McCaffrey doing all of the work right there. But in terms of turning around, handing off, pitching, something that just isn't clicking for the San Francisco 49ers right now, and I'm curious as to what the main reason why is.
I definitely think the offensive line is not doing a great job in the running game. I think that's, you know, I've never thought that Jake Brendel was this excellent run blocking center. You have a rookie seventh round picked at left guard. You have Dominic Pooney, who I think is maybe a little bit banged up, at least going back to August. He certainly was. And you have Trent Williams aging. I think that's part of it. Christian McCaffrey's aging. He's 29 years old. But I think the bigger part of it, just zooming out, is just when you don't have your top three receivers and your top tight end, who's also, you know, the best run blocking tight end in the league, I think all of those factors kind of contribute to it. I don't think there's any one thing. I think if the 49ers had all their receivers, they'd probably be more explosive offensively. And that would change the way teams approach them. Like, if you're defending the 49ers right now, you're really just keying on Christian McCaffrey and say, all right, we're going to key on Christian. And if you want to beat us with Jake Tonjes, go ahead. And that's not a knock on Jake Tonjes. That's just what you do. And the 49ers have been fortunate in that Jake Tonjes has been playing pretty well and actually been a threat for them. So I think it's just a combination of everything. I think it's missing guys. I think it's the way defenses are approaching them. I think it's, you know, age and attrition along the offensive front. And I think the 49ers are probably banking on, like, if they can get Ricky Pearsall and Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings back and George Kittle back, that will open things up in the passing game. Defenses have to adjust schematically, and then you can gash them a little bit more in the running game. But to your point, like, the fact that Christian McCaffrey is still having this type of season from a production standpoint without being good in the running game speaks to what an elite talent he is, and maybe a singular talent when it comes to being a pass catcher out of the backfield. And Kyle Shanahan said it, I forget if it was last week or the week before, but he said he's never seen a running back who's better out of the backfield. And I have to agree with him. I don't even know who would really be close at this point. And you saw it last night with a touchdown. As soon as Christian McCaffrey splits out wide, you're like, oh, this is easy. Like, pitch and catch. This is an easy touchdown because you have Christian McCaffrey against some linebacker. And that, you know, that there's no way the 49ers are losing in that scenario. So I think it's really impressive that McCaffrey has been this productive despite the running game struggling as much as it has.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, you're spot on. And as you speak, I'm trying to make sure I have these numbers correct as I do them on my own, because I was thinking the same thing about Christian McCaffrey. If the 49ers win the NFC West, get to NFC Championship, wherever they go in the playoffs, these 5 weeks when the 49ers were being held together by duct tape, by Christian McCaffrey, will be the reason. 142 total yards to start the season, 107 in game two, 140, 141, 139. The running game doesn't look the way we want it to, but his ability to continue to be a game changer in these first 5 weeks is special.
82 yards out of the back as a receiver last night on 8 receptions.
Absolutely special. And I got to tip my cap to him because, like I said, it doesn't look the same because of the running woes that they have. Offensive line isn't as crisp as you'd like it to be. I think McCaffrey, to a certain degree, isn't as crisp as, I mean, 2023, that was a cyborg. That was not human. So that's unfair to compare him to that. But he's not that anymore. But, man, he's the one that makes all of this stuff go while all the chaos is going around him.
Yeah, in Seattle, there were those, you know, third and fourth down conversions that he made in the passing game. He had that touchdown at the end of the first half in the Saints game that was, you know, one of the biggest plays in that game. And he's just figures out a way to be a factor, and Kyle Shanahan does a really good job of figuring out ways to get him open too. But it's crazy to think about how productive he's been despite defenses keying on him. Like, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're like, where's 23? That is the most important thing we got to figure out. And while it looks tough sometimes, he still finds ways to be really productive, and Kyle Shanahan finds ways to get production out of him. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think Christian McCaffrey, without him, there's no way the 49ers are 4-1 at this point.
92 yards receiving in week 4 against the Jaguars. 82 last night, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. It's your running back.
Context, Devontae had 88.
Your running back, man. What great job by him, man.
And
88
the
week before.
I know we've mentioned it. I don't feel like we've given enough love to Kendrick Bourne in the night he had.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shout out Kendrick.
10 receptions, 142 yards is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. On 11 targets.
Yeah.
And coming off all the drops he had in the Jaguars game. So yeah, that was massive. If you had told me the 49ers would be without their top three receivers in George Kittle, and you're still going to get somebody not named Christian McCaffrey to have 142 receiving yards and all those first downs that he got. I just said, you're lying to me. it's not happening. But yeah, for Kendrick Bourne to step up like that, it's, no, these are the things that didn't happen last year. Like the 49ers played in a bunch of those types of games last year, but they would lose pretty much all of them. Like when the 49ers were as injured as they were and they didn't have Brock Purdy, it was like, all right, like this is going to be a slog of a watch. This podcast Kyle and I are going to have to do is going to be really annoying because we're going to talk about injuries and all the guys the 49ers are missing. And that's what I thought was going to happen going into last night. I was like, man, the Niners might get dog walked. Like, do they sit Christian McCaffrey? Do you keep these touches off of him and just take the L and try to get ready for Tampa? And then they come out and win the game in overtime. Like just the context of the win is crazy to me. And you know, again, I think if they go on a run this year, that'll be one of the biggest games of the regular season for them.
Real quick, did you see the Panthers podcast that stopped doing their podcast because the Panthers are so bad? They said they can't justify the time away from their kids and wives anymore. So they stopped the podcast.
I would be lying. I would be 100% lying if I told you that never crossed my mind when we're in August and talking about like the Niners don't even have enough players to have a joint practice. Because like, what are we talking about? Like, why do we have to still do this podcast?
Chris is like, it's too much time away from my kids. Chris, you don't have kids. Still too much time away from them. Gotta be with the dog. Gotta be with the dog. Chris, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time for us. We've demanded that Kyle return here, and we've demanded it. So
he's always going to Hawaii in the middle of the football season.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't know the football season's happening. Like it completely catches him off guard. Like, oh, I've got to go.
Oh, that's this month. Yeah. Oh.
And as someone who's had to either text or call him like every day this week, it's kind of like, hey, man, get your ass back here.
Yeah, we're ready. We're ready for Kyle to come back. If Kyle's listening, come back, man. We could use you. I can't run solo on these on all these pods.
Oh, that's Cap. You're doing a great job. I love listening to you. I know you had Matt Mayoko on recently. This is great stuff as always. Mm-hmm. Chris, we appreciate you, my friend.
Take care, big dog.
Absolutely.
Go
you guys
blue.
Be well.
Go blue.
The man, Chris beat him. No, stop. Stop it. Stop. What are you doing?
It's a regular greeting. It's just a regular greeting.
Well, only lunatics say that. Oh, blue. Goodness gracious.
We got Wisconsin get to talk. This week. I know
he's been at how many we's are there? We the Aces. Well, we the blue.
The Aces my team? Are Michigan my team? Yes. It's not like I'm saying.
No, the 49ers makes sense.
Yeah.
The Giants makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Your Knicks, it does.
So you're just
going to
move
fine.
Away from the Kings?
You're a Kings supporter. I'm not. I can't believe TC didn't call.
TC texted me.
I think TC was a little in his feelings. I told him
don't worry about that though. Call us, man.
I don't think TC knew Bam was joking, but that's fine, man. That's cool. I'm like, TC, literally everybody is waiting for you to call.
Yeah, man.
But maybe I guess he was busy.
Yeah.
Maybe he feels like he's got to call Draper while he can. I don't know. I don't know. He didn't call us the whole day. That's a tough look. I'm sad.
As long as you don't go too far down south.
Well, yeah, you mean like the depths of hell? TC, don't call the depths of hell. Don't call the depths of hell, TC. Don't do that. Hell of a win for the San Francisco 49ers. And truth be told, if the Raiders are able to pull something off this weekend, as frustrated as Eddie Wood is of them, that'd be a hell of a win for them.
That'd be a big-time win.
This is a Colts team that's playing pretty well, suffered their first loss. You know, you had one of those Matt Stafford comebacks last Sunday. Mm-hmm. They're looking to regroup right here. I don't know what Indianapolis is yet, but I felt really good. I felt really good in their loss last week against the Rams. It's like, okay, I think what we're seeing is legit. It's going to look different though if the Raiders beat them, because the Raiders aren't playing good football. Yep. If they lose to a Raiders team that is playing good football on Sunday, then I'll appreciate that. We can get back on this Raiders conversation.
100%.
Appreciate you so much for being with us, as always. We'll be back here in full force on Monday. Kyle will be back. Jesse will be with us on Monday. We'll celebrate Jesse one more day before he's becoming a man next week. He's becoming a man. So our countdown to Jesse's wedding begins on Monday here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Aces!
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.